Isaiah chapter 36 today. Isaiah 36 beginning in verse number 1. This is our 22nd study through the book of Isaiah. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. The powerful Assyrian Empire lasted for about 300 years, and they were as mean as could be. They captured many cities in Judah, even though those cities were walled, and they are making their way to Jerusalem. Verse 2, then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And he stood by the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field. Now, the king of Assyria sent his Rabshakeh, in other words, his personal official, and he sent him with many soldiers to Jerusalem. And they are just outside Jerusalem. Verse 3, and Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. The king of Assyria's officials met with the king of Israel's officials. And it says in verse 4, then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? Did you notice that the Assyrian doesn't call Hezekiah the king of Israel? He doesn't call him king because he despises him and he doesn't want to give him that honor. However, he calls his own king, the king of Assyria, the great king. Verse 5, I say you speak of having counsel and strength for war, but they are vain words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? The Assyrian says, Hezekiah, you talk big, but big talk won't cause you to defeat us. You don't stand a chance. 6, look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. In other words, don't expect Egypt to help you. They're not going to be any help to you. They're too weak. 7, but if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? He says, your God won't help you either. He won't help you because Hezekiah hasn't been loyal to him. Boy, has Hezekiah gotten you into a peck of trouble here. You are in big trouble. Your God won't even help you because Hezekiah's got them all ticked off at you. 8. Now, therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to put riders on them. Now, he's just mocking Judah now. He says, we'll even give you 2,000 horses that you can use against us. It's sort of like saying, we'll spot you a couple of touchdowns before the football game starts, just to make it kind of a sporting event. We'll give you a head start. We'll tie one of our hands behind our back. We'll still whoop you, is what he is saying. 9, how then will you repel one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? In other words, you couldn't even beat one of our weakest soldiers. 10, have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. And so this Assyrian official says, besides, on top of everything else, your God, the God of Israel, told me to attack you and defeat you. And of course, that's just a bunch of baloney. God told me this and God told me that, most of the time, is baloney today as well. Verse 11. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, "Please speak to your servants in the Aramaic language, for we understand it. And do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." Now, I don't know why they said this. Are they really serious? Do they really think that the Assyrians will back off? You know, the Assyrians were making their threats in the language that the people of Israel understood. And they had a reason for that, because they wanted the Israelites to understand these threats. They wanted to panic the people. And so the Israelite officials speak in a language that they don't understand. Well, if that's not a wasted request, I don't know what is. The Assyrians are not there to make anyone feel at ease. They're there to bring panic. 12. But the Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you?" And so instead of toning down the threats, they turn them up a few notches. He says, if you don't surrender, hey, listen, you people, if you don't surrender, you're going to be eating your own waste. That's how bad it's going to get. 13. Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice in Hebrew and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria." The Assyrians shout to the people of Israel. "We're going to speak loud and clear so that you people understand. We're not going to tone it down. We're not going to back off. We're not going to speak in a language you can't understand. We're going to speak loud and clear in a language that you do understand. So listen up." 14. "Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Don't listen to your leader Hezekiah, because no matter what he says, he cannot save you." That's the message to the people. Verse 15, "Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. And don't count on your God either. He won't do you any good." You know what? This Assyrian official, he'd be real wise not to drag the Lord God into his speech. Verse 16, "Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present, and come out to me, and every one of you will eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cisterns." In other words, in verse 17, he says, "Until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards." Well, he's just painting a beautiful picture here for the Israelites, and all they have to do is surrender. Just surrender, we'll give you a nice life. Come on over to our side. See, they want to make this as easy as possible. They figure they can conquer Israel, but, you know, they want to do it as easy as possible. So don't put up a fight, just surrender. Verse 18. And they continue, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the other gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" And now he has really stepped over the line. He has compared the Lord God Almighty to the idols that couldn't protect the other nations that Israel or that Assyria has already conquered. And it gets worse. 19. "Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" In other words, the Assyrians are saying, your God is no different than those dumb idols that didn't and couldn't help the countries that we have already defeated. And I can tell you this, they have just stepped on God's toes with that remark. That will seal their eventual doom, because God's not going to sit back and take that kind of blasphemous talk. 21. "But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. And sometimes the best response is quietness. And a blasphemous statement like the one the Assyrians have just made, that doesn't deserve a response. 22. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna, the scribe, Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. In those days, tearing one's clothes was a sign of despair. And you know, even people of faith can be shaken. And the power and the threats of Assyria have shaken the Israelites. Well, we'll see what will happen. What's going to happen when we get to chapter 37 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.